Colossians, the second chapter, the 14th verse reads, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Supporting scripture this morning, St. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The basis of those verses, we like to use a thought of subject this morning. Love nailed my sins to the cross. Love nailed my sins to the cross. As we celebrate Black history, I found myself going back myself to the days of Dr. Betts. That was one of his favorite songs. And I can remember in this church, many times we would sing our hearts out. We'd sing so hard and we'd think that we had the spirit lifted so high. And as soon as we sit down, Dr. Betts would sing his own song. There were times then that I didn't understand. But now I do. So as we celebrate Black history, let us as a church be grateful for where the Lord has brought us from. I am thankful. I'm not actually amazed, but in a sense, I just don't really know what God is doing with us right now. But God is doing something. And when I stand here lately, I am so grateful to have been chosen to be a vessel to be used by Almighty God. And I thank God that I got sense enough to know that I'm nothing but a wretch undone. But the message that God gave me today, love, nailed my sins to the cross. That puts me in a position where I can stand before you and not be ashamed. To hold my head up high and to declare what thus said the Lord our God. Knowing for a surety that I don't dot every I, cross every T, but I know a God that is merciful. And every time I need to call on him or reach out, I can say, Father, I stretch my hand. See, if you don't ever reach out to him, you don't know what I'm talking about. But there are some quiet folk in here this morning that have reached out to God in their own special way.
And you can say for a surety that no other help. I know. It's the grace and mercy of God brought us together one more time, giving us an opportunity to worship him, to lift up his name. And today is a good day to be in the presence and in fellowship with the mighty God, with the God that shed his own blood for the payment and the penalty of our sins. Every one of us are indebted to God. We owe God something. We understand, and we found out last week that we don't belong to ourselves. We owe God something. We were bought with a price. And because he owns us, we owe him honor and we owe him wholehearted praise. Not a warmed over praise, but we owe God our all in all. If we are to say like David that I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. So on the days when I don't feel like praising him, I still ought to have a mind to tell him thank you. He makes our lives complete, for the Bible declares that it is in him that we have our being. How could we move if it had not been for the power of a mighty God? He came so that our lives would be fulfilled and complete. I don't know about you, but without God in your life, that there's something missing. You can have all the riches of the land. You can have everything going in your favor. But if you don't have God in your life, you are missing one very special element. That element that's going to keep you lifted. That element that is able to keep you when nobody else can. When you're in fellowship with God, and for whatever reason, sickness or travel or whatever gets you out of that fellowship, you can't have any peace of mind until you get back in fellowship with God. Sometimes we find ourselves falling, and when we fall, we use that old term, I'm falling and I can't get up. You better get up. Why are you just going to lay down there? And there are some of us that we got to wait on somebody to come and help get us up. But if you got a reading a portion of health and strength, then you can do whatever you got to do to get up. You got to learn how to get yourself back up. All of us have been knocked down before. But you got to learn how to get back up. Every time you get up, you got a testimony. You might not share it with nobody, but you ought to have a testimony. Anybody in here glad of what God has done in your life? You might not be one to jump up and say, I want to thank the Lord for this, I want to thank the Lord for that. But by how many of y'all thankful this morning that the blood is yet running warm in your veins? How many of you thank God this morning that he looked beyond your fault and saw a need to bless you? And touch you, what they say, with the finger of love this morning. And you got up out of that bed one more time. Hallelujah, Jesus. As we journey throughout this week, and we celebrate Valentine's Day, national holiday for sharing love and giving flowers and candy and dinners and that special time that we spend with one another. That time that we have an opportunity to let others know how we feel. It's been said that love is not love until it is given away. But do you know and understand that love cannot be bought? If you are caught up in high maintenance status, and you're looking for diamonds and rubies and something that is very expensive, that's not love. That's a token of what somebody think about you. But I like to believe that someone thinks more of me than what they can afford to do. you will have a mindset that that individual, just the thought of you, that's real love. I've noticed, and I'm sure you have too, because we went from this size box to this size box. And I looked in the store the other day, and they got a box like this. Who needs that much candy at one time? That's nothing but show. You come bouncing in the house with a big old box of candy that I cannot even see your face. Flowers on the one arm and a couple dollars in a card on the other hand. And talking about, I love you. Before you eat all that candy, you're going to be mad at one another. If you're not careful, you find that candy coming behind you out the door. Take your candy and get out of here. Because that love is based on the condition that you make me feel like I want to feel. And give me what I think I want. I don't have to give you nothing. And love you with all of my heart. The world that we live in is messed up. If you got a sweet tooth this morning, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. David said that it's sweeter than a honeycomb. Can you get it that good? No. God's love is an unconditional love. No strings attached. I don't have to do anything but just be me. When I didn't have a mind to tell him thank you, he loved me anyhow. When I didn't have a mind to come and be a part of nobody's ministry, he loved me anyhow. Because the love that I'm talking about is a love that loved the just as well as the unjust. Because understand this, that every one of us belong to the power of a mighty God. We hear people say all the time, I love you, and we say that, but the question is, do you really mean it? Do you understand that it should be more than just mere words? Love is an action word. And we got to understand that real love is that inner being having to be compassionate and warm and with a power that will override your mind. And that love that will send out a spirit that can be felt without any touch or contact. You ever been in the midst of a room with some of your loved ones or with some people and you can just say that I can feel love all in the air? And the reason why is because once we get on one accord and we set aside our petty indifferences and believe that everybody is somebody and stop looking down our noses at one another and know that God is a God of love. If you say that you love somebody else and you don't know God, you're just telling a love lie. Love. The expression of love. The Bible declares that God is love. The dictionary defines it as the high esteem that God has for his human children and the high regard which they in turn should have for him and other people. a feeling of affection, a feeling of concern, a feeling of devotion for another person. Love is a strong liking for something. You can love a whole lot of things and not love nobody walking on two legs. Some folk love their car, but they don't love their neighbor. They love coffee, but they don't love Uncle Sue. They love everybody else, but they just don't love themselves. Isn't it a sad thing when you can have all the love in the world and you don't even know what love really is? The greatest definition of love. The Bible said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, meaning love, I am just like a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. You know how you're talking loud and saying nothing? That's what that says. Do I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge? And do I have all faith so that I can say to a mountain, move to yonder and not have love? I am nothing. Though I'm able to bestow all of my goods to help somebody along the way, the Bible says feed the poor. Give your body to be burned. You can give of yourself, but if you don't do it out of love, it profited you nothing. So in other words, if you're just doing it to get a pat on the back, if you're just doing it just to hear somebody say that's what John Willie did, then I get no gain out of what I've done. The Bible declared that love will suffer long. Love is kind. Love envy if not love. Vanity if not itself. Love don't get all puffed up. Not love. We do. Anybody know anybody get puffed up? One minute they smiling in your face. One minute they bringing you some eggs and some bacon. Next minute they're snatching it out from in the front of you. Next day they tell you, oh, something you better get it for yourself. Love flip-flop. Love don't behave itself unseemly. I ain't even going there. Because if you somewhere and you need a tap just to act like somebody, he don't love you. One of them taps gonna take you out. Don't get all huffy, man. Because there's some women beating us. They doing the tapping. Some of these women we know now, you go up on, they say you better bring your lunch. Things done changed. I'll pay my bill somehow. You may as well be real. Don't act like you don't know. They did it then, they're doing it now, and they're going to be doing it tomorrow. Because of flesh and sin. Crazy mindsets. Love will never fail you. Love, the Bible declares, is the greatest thing that we can have. For the Bible says, now abideth faith, hope, love. Out of all these three, love is the greatest. And when I think about that kind of love, it's been said that love is like oil to the wheels of obedience, for it enables us to run the way that God commands us to go. The love that he stresses and commands is called agape love, which is a term for Christianity. This love expresses the very nature of our God. His love for us was so strong that we find in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a powerful testament of real love. That a father would give his own divine son for the ransom of us all. Paul declared that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. We know that we are covered in flesh and sinful flesh. But I'm glad to say this morning that Jesus loved us no matter what. No matter where you come from. No matter what you've done in your life. I just stopped by to let you know this morning that we serve a mighty God. And God loves us so much that he allowed his only begotten son. In other words, the only son that God had, his very special son, a part of the divine creation. He allowed him to come down and die on Calvary's hill for your sin and my sin. And I thank God this morning that I know something about the love of Jesus. The Bible says he blots out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. In other words, you got to know that God had made everything possible. We were responsible, and we ought to be obligated to hold up the laws of God. When you talk about the handwriting of ordinances, it talks about the Ten Commandments. It talks about the laws of God. But the Bible declared that no man was able to keep all the laws of God. So that's why they went to the temple and they had to have a blood sacrifice in order to be atoned for their sins. But I thank God this morning that I don't have to worry about the sins of the land. For the God that I serve, he sent his only begotten son down to die. Oh, what love is this, that a man will lay down his life for a friend. I stop by to tell somebody that I serve a mighty God. And the God that I serve, he nailed all of our sins to the cross this morning. I'm glad that everything that is wrong with us, God took that certificate and nailed it to his cross. If you got a lying tongue, you got to know this morning that everything is going to be all right. Because God done put your lying tongue on the cross. If you're a backstabber this morning, I want to tell you, get your hands off the dagger. Get your hands out of their back. Because the God that I serve, he done took the knife out your hand and he nailed it to the cross. I stopped by to tell somebody that got a little problem with drinking. You might drink too much sometimes, but the God that you serve, he nailed your sin to the cross. Is there anybody in here that would be honest with yourself and know that you don't have everything right? To know that you are nothing but a sinner saved by the grace of a mighty God. Is there anybody in here that know that it's not all about you, but it's about the power of a mighty God? Is there anybody in here that got the love of Jesus deep down in their heart? I heard a song that said, I got the love of Jesus way down in my heart. And I thank God this morning, that the love that I got, the world didn't give it to me, and the world is not going to take it away. Because the God I serve, he went to Calvary one day. They hung him high, they stretched him wide, and they strung him in the side. The blood and water, they came running down. But I heard the voice of Jesus say, everything gonna be all right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody got the love? Anybody glad? Say yeah. Say yeah. Anybody glad this morning that the Lord our God made a way out of no way? I thank you, God, for nailing my sin to the cross. I thank you, God, for nailing all the power to the cross. God hung on the cross with all power in his hand. Died ashamed for death so that we would have the right to the tree of life. And gave us this great place of worship. You all not come in here and not give God the praise that he is due. We are not worthy of the blessings that he had bestowed upon us. But because of his grace, because of his love and mercy, because he blotted out all of the ordinances, all of the writings that was against us, that held us against a wall, Jesus the Christ, he nailed it to the cross. And after he nailed it to the cross, if you believe, everything is going to be all right. But as long as you allow the enemy to remind you of your yesterday and to keep his thumb down on you, you're not going to feel that sense of freedom or that mind of peace. But when you let go and let God have his way, something about Jesus makes a difference in your very life. When I think of what we read this morning and how God took everything that was up against me, and he took it and he nailed it. And the Bible declares, it does not say to the cross, but it says to his cross. His cross. That cross on Calvary has significant meaning to you, you, and you. Are you not glad this morning that it was love that nailed all of our sins to the cross?